More and more churches are starting to get serious about search engine optimization. But search engine optimization is a huge field with so many things that you can be doing. But in almost all circumstances, the first thing you should do is figure out what your audience is searching for. We dedicated this whole episode to that with the 7 top keywords that your church needs to be targeting. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 71. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey man, not too much. I'm looking forward to talking today. We'll be talking about the 7 keywords for churches that want to improve their SEO rank, their search engine optimization rank. I think this is a really good conversation. I think it's something that I get asked quite a bit about, what should we do if we're trying to do search engine optimization? Because frankly, SEO is a huge topic, and there are so many different things that can be done when it comes to search engine optimization. It has to do with site speed, and it has to do with writing skill, and it has to do with there's really no shortage. It has to do with the keyword research, as we're going to talk about today.
Right.
That's probably the first and foremost thing, is figuring out what are those things that people are searching for, and how do we start to help our church rank for that? How do we start to show up in those searches? So in this episode today, we're going to be talking about just the 7 that you should probably take a look at and make sure your website is optimized for. And the reason why we chose these 7 is because these are the ones that people are searching for the most. These are the ones that people are probably looking for. So that's not to say that's the only way to do search engine optimization, because just because something is searched for a lot doesn't mean that you should try to rank for it, right?
Right.
So if, like, you know, the term, I'm sure, like, Bible is searched for all the time, just Bible by itself. But the fact is that's kind of a competitive term. Like, Bible Gateway probably is going to rank. It's going to be hard to rank above Bible Gateway when someone searches for just Bible, right? So you probably shouldn't be targeting just that. So what we're going to be talking about today is some shorter, but some that are more like what we'd call long tail keywords.
Yeah.
By that, it means there's short tail, which means terms like church or Bible or that kind of stuff. And then what a long tail keyword is, something that's longer, that maybe someone types into a search engine. It happens less frequently, but fewer people are competing for it.
Right.
So an example people use sometimes is like red high top shoes would be an example of a long tail, or red high top shoes size 9. That's a very long tail keyword. And that doesn't get searched for very much, but it's something that when it does get searched for, you could probably rank for it if you made a post or content specifically about those kinds of things. So we have some that are kind of in that vein today, and some that are more broad, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. But anyway, we're going to kind of give our audience the 7 that we would start with. I don't know. What do you have to add to that, Ian?
No, not much. I mean, I this is something that is very important. We've been talking a lot about SEO lately, and I think that as we get into these, it's going to make sense to anyone watching or listening, because I think that they're going to realize they do similar searches like this.
Yeah, totally.
So a lot of these, I think, will be kind of common knowledge. So now, why don't you kick us off?
Well, yeah, before we jump right in, though, let me just say this, is that we want to be careful. If you're hearing this, don't hear us saying that we should use these terms 12 times in every single paragraph on our site, right? That's not what we're saying. That's what we call keyword stuffing. And that's something that will get you blacklisted on Google, and they'll say, you guys are trying to game the system, so we're not going to show your results at all anymore. So don't take any of these and say, you know, Thomas and Ian say we got to use this 45 times on our homepage or else we're not going to rank. That's not what we're saying. You're supposed to do it in moderation. One of the best ways to do that is a tool called Yoast. If you're using WordPress, it'll help you figure out if you're using it too little, too much or just right. It'll help you figure some of those kinds of things out. But I'll go ahead and kick us off here.
That is good that you pointed that out before kicking it off, for sure.
I think we don't want to get you blacklisted, if anything. I'd rather you be not showing up much than being not showing up at all on your site there. So that's our hope for you. The first one we'll tackle is the one that's probably the most famous and most useful, is churches near me. That saying there, it's really a important search term because what it's doing is it has a very clear local intent. So what a local intent is it's Google, and they've come to understand when someone is looking for a general search term or if they're looking for something that is there locally. Like, so if we use the example, we'll probably use this a bunch, but we'll use the example of plumbers, right?
Yeah.
If someone is searching for plumbers and they're in Austin, Texas, they don't really care what plumbing services are available in Seattle or in Boston because they don't get that kind of, they're not going to be able to help them in Austin, Texas. So Google has had to figure that out. When people are searching for something, that they're probably looking for something local, like plumbers near me or restaurants near me or churches near me in this case, then we want to make sure that we're showing organizations that are actually of use to the searcher there. And so the churches near me search term, that is something that's really useful. So that's something that we think churches should probably be targeting as the first mission number one, is that churches near me keyword.
Yeah. And let's face it, most people, when they're looking for a church, they're looking for a church near them that they're not going to have to drive over an hour to. And that's not to say, I know my church has people that drive over an hour to get to it, and that's great. But most people are going to be looking for churches near them and something that's going to be convenient distance-wise from where they live. And it's funny, you know, one of my favorite searches is restaurants or lunch near me. So it makes sense for when you think about it, that's what people are doing. Usually when it's location-based, they're looking for something near them.
Let me say this too about this one, is that this one is one that's a little bit hard to use on your site, right? Because like, think of a context where a church would write that exact phrase, churches near me. You're not going to write that on your site. Like you might find some way to get it in there, but like I think a better way to do it, and Google is smart enough to understand first person, second person, third person, right? So if you had a sentence on your website that it says, are you looking for a church near you this weekend? Like something like that, it will use that as a substitute for churches near me. You don't have to actually say, there's not a clear way to do it. There's not an easy way to write that in normal human speak on a on a church website. Is, are you looking for churches near me? That doesn't really make sense that way, right? So try to use some kind of variation of it, but getting that kind of phrasing in there, churches near, I think it's going to be really valuable.
Yeah, good stuff. I'll tackle the next one, which is kind of similar, and that's that churches in whatever city. Like you said, like let's say use Austin, Texas, for example. So people will do this type of search too, where they'll say churches in Austin, you know, churches in Nantucket. You like to use that city name all the time. So, you know, basically this one's also very important to have. And I've seen this on a lot of churches. Whenever I go to their website, they do have this up in the URL or the description there. So a lot of churches have wised up to that, the city name being in there.
Yep. No, I think that's exactly right. I think that I think it's important to target both church and churches. So Google, again, is usually smart enough to distinguish. But if you can find a place or two to find to have churches and a place or two to find church, that would be good. Now, there are a few exceptions to this. It's not a hard and fast rule that it should be the city. So sometimes it should be the neighborhood, depending on your church. In some cases, it should be the county that you're in. In some places, it's going to be different everywhere. So, for instance, I think if you are a church in Staten Island, New York, it probably isn't as valuable for you to target churches in New York or churches in New York City. You'd be targeting churches in Staten Island because people are very rarely going to be taking the ferry across to go to church with you guys there, right? So it's something that they're going to target. And I think this is especially true for a lot of our more rural type clients. I think, and people that are in our audience that are in rural communities, I know we consult our clients that way. You know, if you're in a town of 1,000 people, the term churches in Bremen, Oklahoma, or something like that, that's not going to be searched very often, right? That's not something that, you know, maybe it's people in your town where they're definitely looking for churches in Bremen, but that's not something out of 1,000 people that might get searched, you know, once every 2 months or something like that. So I wouldn't target that. Usually in those cases, you would go for the county. You'd go for the area. For instance, at my church, at my community here, I live in a town called Hawaii Kai, which is in Honolulu, which is on Oahu. So you could target churches on Oahu. You could target churches in Honolulu. But if we're looking for that really local intent type person, we would be targeting churches in Hawaii Kai, which is where we would be looking for these kinds of things here. So that's how we would do something like that. I think just kind of broadening it a little bit beyond city, I think is important.
It's good.
Cool. Next one. It's the term evangelical. Now, that's a loaded term. I know that if you're, I don't know, there's different kinds of people in our audience. Some are evangelical churches, some are mainline, some are Catholic. We talk to all kinds of different churches out there. I'd say the lion's share of our clients are evangelical, and that's who we tend to search, who we tend to work with. And I know a lot of our audience is too, but you know, it's pretty broad. But what we have found is that evangelical, it is a more searched term when people are looking for churches than other types of, you know, people are searching for that, like evangelical more than Catholic or mainline or some of those kinds of things. And that kind of speaks to something we already know, is that in general, mainline churches are struggling for growth more than evangelical churches are, although across the board, especially with the pandemic, it's been harder. But evangelical is a term, if you're evangelical or evangelical adjacent, I would say, it's a term you may want to use on your website. And now I know that it's loaded, right? So there's a lot of people that if they see that word evangelical, that's an automatic click off because that means something politically that they don't want to be involved with. And there's those other things that we're not here to make political comments on any of that. We just know that that is a reality and it's something we want to be careful with. But I think at the same time, it is valuable for search engine optimization. So if it's something you can find yourself use, if you can identify that way, if you find it at all valuable to you, we're telling you that it will be valuable valuable for search engine optimization if it is a good descriptor of your church.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yep.
Well, that's a good transition to the next one. The next one's the denomination name. So, you know, we just mentioned evangelical, but if you are a Methodist church, if you are a Lutheran church, having that keyword within your content is going to be really good. Because there will be people that are searching for specific denominations. So it is also wise to include that.
Yep. I mean, that's one of the great things is being a part of a denomination has its good parts and its bad parts, right? So I'm part of a very small denomination in churches that I've pastored. The church I'm a part of now, it's called Four Square, and there's a few thousand churches in the United States and 70 or 80,000 worldwide. So it does have some presence, but it's not something that most people know about. And so for us, you know, we would use that, and it would be a good thing for us to use on our website because there are a certain number of people that are familiar with Four Square churches and they want to find another Four Square church. And that's one of the benefits of it. Yeah. One of the bad things about it is that there's people that have had bad experiences at every denomination of church out there, every church out there. And so there are people when they see Baptist church or Lutheran church or Catholic church, they immediately think churches I will not go to. There's people that think that way. So you have to be okay with some of those kinds of things. But I think think for the most part, if you are a denominational church, and certainly if it's in your name somewhere, if you're First Baptist Church, you should be using the term Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Or if you're First United Methodist, you should be using Methodist Church all over on your website
right.
to make sure that anybody looking for that kind of church in your community is going to find you.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yep. Cool. Next one is Bible-based. That term, Bible-based, with, without a hyphen. Google is usually smart enough to get it with or without that there. But we found this to be a term that people are searching for often. I think people that are interested in finding a church home, whether they are... usually it's going to be someone that has more experience with church.
Right.
Or they've given their life... People that don't know Jesus probably aren't looking for Bible-based churches out there. Right. But people that do, they're usually doing those kinds of searches to find one that actually teaches the Bible.
Right.
Because one of the main reasons why people leave churches is because they have a problem with some kind of theology that they believe doesn't match up with what they read in Scripture. And so they're looking for a Bible-based church. So it's a very open, someone that's open to looking for a new church to visit is typing in that term Bible-based very often. So if you were going to describe your church and you are a Bible, if you're not a Bible-based church, then don't use this. But if you are a Bible-based church, use that term when you're talking about your church in a few places on your site. I think it'll help.
Yeah, that's good. And on the flip side, the next one, Christian churches. So that's another thing is that, you know, if you were asked what kind of, you know, church do you go to by someone, you'd probably say, I'm a part of a Christian church. You know, I go to a Christian church. That is something else that someone who is looking specifically that they're not Muslim, they're looking for a Christian church. They're going to use that term and keyword.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think from a lot of our audience, we lead churches and we're so, you know, we're so entrenched in church and ministry work that like when we describe ourselves to our friends, we rarely, unless you're part of the Christian church denomination, we rarely refer to ourselves as, we're a Christian church. You know, it's something that's just assumed. If you say church, you don't usually need the modifier Christian in front of it.
But
I think to people that don't know Jesus, especially, or they're newer to this, they're looking for a Christian church. They'll type that kind of a search term in. So I think a lot of churches find it odd to put it in their into their copy in their text and using it as a keyword on their site because it's not in the way that we normally talk. But I think finding a way to get Christian church in there in a few places, I think that'll definitely be helpful.
That's good. Why don't you lead us home? What's the last one, but not least? An interesting one, right?
Yeah, the last one I think is interesting because it means different things to different people, but it's Spirit-filled.
Yeah.
That term, Spirit-filled. So there's two kinds of people that type in Spirit. It means two different things that I can kind of think of as I think about people that use. But the research shows this is a very common term for people looking for churches online. They'll type in Spirit-filled or Spirit-filled churches.
Yeah.
So to some people, Spirit-filled is a substitute for the term Pentecostal, charismatic, speaking in tongues, those
snake
kinds of
handling,
things. Maybe snake handling. Some of those. So people that are looking for a church where they believe in that all the gifts that we read about in the Bible are applicable today and they're going to practice them in that church, they might type in that term Spirit-filled church.
Yeah.
To other people, Spirit-filled just means it's not traditional. It's something where people might clap their hands when they're singing
more
songs.
More expressive.
It's more expressive in the style. It really isn't a statement of theology. It's more of a statement of style there. But either way, these are people that you may want to connect with. So I think even if you're a Baptist church, for instance, and you wouldn't consider yourself a charismatic or a Pentecostal church,
you're
Baptist, but you're the kind of church where people stand and clap their hands during worship, or you have some lighting that are on the stage when people are preaching, that kind of stuff, you might want to say that we are a Spirit-filled church somewhere on your website. You know, again, make sure it's clear in the what we believe segment about what you believe about your church and what you believe about Jesus. So make sure that's clear. But use Spirit-filled. I think it's a good term because it means a lot of things. And the research seems to show that it's something that's going to be commonly searched by people looking for churches.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been seeing that. So yeah, those are good ones, partner.
Awesome. Yeah, I hope it's been helpful to our audience. If it has been, rate, review, subscribe, do all those things. That means a lot to us. It really, I want to share that it really has played a huge part in the growth of this podcast, this channel.
Right.
We're on a bunch of different platforms. And it's funny, we're hearing more and more from people that say, hey, we've been watching this and it got us thinking and we want to talk about this more. We have some questions. It's really helped our church. So we love hearing those kinds of stories too. So if this has helped you, please let us know in the comments, shoot us a message, drop us a like, share, tell your friends, those kinds of things. That just means a lot to us. So thank you guys so much for being part of our Reach Right family, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.